2 Timothy chapter 1, let's begin to read in verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But he's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We certainly need your help. And Lord, as we stand before these folk, they're going to need something from you today. And Lord, I pray that you'd just touch us and anoint us afresh. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd keep the devil at bay. And Lord, you'd put a hedge about this house and a hedge about folks' lives today and around their mind and around their heart. That folk would be very attentive and that to the Word of God this morning as we preach. And Lord, I pray and that for an unction from the Holy One, that if there's one here that's lost today, that they might get saved before it's too late, that they'd come to know you as their personal Savior. Lord, we ask now that you just guide hearts and minds. There may be folk here today that is in turmoil, and Lord, they just need something from heaven. They need something from you, and I pray they'd find it in the Word of God today. Lord, thank you for being our friend. Thank you most of all for being our Savior and coming and dying in our place. Lord, help us now while we preach, for you said without you we can do nothing, and I understand that, and I need you this morning just to come by and help and save that sinner that's near his tail. For these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look here, as the Apostle Paul, as he was writing his second epistle on that to Timothy, and Paul wrote many things, and he said many things when he wrote, and I guess that's an understatement. He wrote 13 and at least 13 books in the New Testament, from Romans to Philemon. Paul wrote those things, and he gave us the doctrine and that for the local New Testament church. You find in Paul's writings, not only do you find the doctrine and that for the local New Testament church, but you find in that the statements about the body of Christ and that how that the church is made up, and that of people that have been saved and been birthed into the family of God. But as we begin to read here in verse 8, he talks about the afflictions of the gospel. I don't believe there's many of us and that afflicted today because of the gospel. Notice what he said right here. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Notice that Paul was under affliction. He was in bonds. He was in prison, and that because of the preaching of the gospel. Ain't you glad today that we live in a free country where you have the right to believe what you want to believe? You have the right to preach what you want to preach and teach today. I'm glad for that. But we find right here that Paul was being persecuted for his belief. As a matter of fact, if you look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said in verse 12, yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me say today that the closer that you get to Christ, the more that we live for him, the more that we let our light shine, friend, in this dark world that we're in, the more we'll be persecuted, and that for what we believe. It's headed that way. Listen, folk, get to, you can talk about God. You can talk about the man upstairs. You can talk about the old man that's up there. By the way, that's very disrespectful, and that to God, by the way. But friend, you start talking about wanting to pray in Jesus' name. You start using his name, and folk get tore up about his name. Ain't that what happened in the book of Acts over there? They said, did we not command you not to teach nor preach in his name? And listen, it's about a hymn this morning, not about a what. Now I'll get there in just a second. but there's afflictions in the gospel. But then notice he talked about that he was called according to the Lord's purpose. It was not according to his own works, but according to God's purpose. And I preached on this here recently about God's got a purpose for your life. Whether you're young or old, God has got a purpose. Paul's purpose in that was to be the apostle and that to the Gentiles. And God made a preacher and a teacher out of him to them. He abolished death in verse 10. The Lord Jesus did. He said, who abolished death and hath brought to life and immortality to light through the gospel. So by life and light of the Lord Jesus Christ, he abolished death, that no man has to taste death anymore. I'm glad of that today. Friend, you say, well, you're going to die one day. Hey, I might die physically, but friend, I will not die spiritually. I will not be involved in the second death, friend, because I'm saved, and that by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he talks about being what here? He said, I'm appointed. The appointment of Paul, we find in verse 11. But he makes a statement in verse 12. And Paul begins to speak personally about some things. Now, Paul, as I said at the beginning, wrote many things about many subjects, but there are a few times in the book of 2 Timothy that we get a glimpse into Paul's life personally. And he says right here, he uses the word I, the pronoun. Is that a pronoun? I believe it is. Somebody will correct me after that's teaching school, I'm sure. But he said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. So he's beginning to talk about himself. And I want to look at some things this morning that the Apostle Paul said about himself and see if we can say the same thing. Can I say that first of all, as we read in verse 12, that Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. First of all, I believe the Apostle Paul is saying, I know I'm saved. Can you make that statement this morning? Can you say from your heart, can you say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, when I die, I'll go to heaven. I know that I've trusted Christ and that he saved me that morning or that night when I asked him to do that. Notice it is by the gospel. Listen, salvation is not in any other. Salvation is not in something. Salvation is not in some work. Salvation is not in some person. But it is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. The Bible said in Romans chapter 10 that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You must and that have trusted him. Paul said, for I know whom I have believed. He believed in somebody, not something. I know whom I have believed. Not what I believed, but whom I've believed, you see. The night that I got saved, I come and I trusted Christ. I knew that he could save me if I come to him. And that's all I knew to do, was to come and get saved. And so we find that the Apostle Paul could make that statement, I know that I'm saved. What about you? I was asking a lady there in the nursing home this past week when I was over there, I was asking her, does she know that she's going to heaven? And she said, yes. I said, are you sure? I mean, if you're sure, you're sure, ain't you? If you're sure of something, you're sure of something. I said, are you sure? And then I had that deer in the headlight look. Well, I don't know. Well, so now we got to back up and start looking at some things, you know. Listen, when there's a lot of folk, they've had an experience when they were younger. And I'm not going to doubt somebody's salvation. That's between them and the Lord. Your experience of salvation is between you and God. But listen, I'm going to tell you this. Paul tells us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and 5, he said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. You can look, you can know. There are some telltale signs about being saved, about being in the faith. I mean, the very first one, I've preached that message many times over the years. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Listen, if there never was a change from your old man to a new man, I would doubt that I got saved. You say, well, I've done different for a little while. That's reformation, not regeneration. There's a lot of folk reformed. There's a lot of folk that do better, and people can quit doing anything for 3 weeks, 21 days, they say. But listen, when there's something different on the inside of you, it makes a difference, and it's going to last the rest of your life. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. He knew that it was in Christ. It was not in his works. Paul told Titus, he said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. He said, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You go back and you look in verse 9. He said, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. So it's not our works that done it. If you think the baptismal pool can save you and bless the Church of Christ's heart, and I've got family that's Church of Christ and friend that's Church of Christ, but I'm going to tell you, it cannot, will not, never will wash your sins away. Amen. Listen to me. The Bible said in Revelations 1 and 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Are you going to take the water? Are you going to take the blood? You need to choose this morning, but it ain't both. It takes the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now it can take, but no, it can't either. It's got to be one or the other. You cannot get saved by being dunked in the baptismal pool. That would be a work. It is not a work. No, it's not our work. It's not anything that we can do. Listen, it's not in church membership. And as much as I believe in working for the Lord, as much as I believe in baptism, as much as I believe in church membership, those things can't save you. And you say, well, why do you believe in church membership? Why those folk over there in the early church, they were accounted in that with the disciples, were they not? I mean, they joined up with the disciples. They wanted to be part and that of the local church, if you would, this morning. But notice Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. Not only did he believe in Christ, but he was convinced of that thing. Are you convinced of it this morning? Your life's miserable if you ain't convinced of it. If you're always wondering about it, you're miserable. Listen, Christ, I'm going to be honest. He said, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. He's persuaded that he is able to what? To keep. See, I'm going to bless Baptist heart. And I'm as Baptist, what is it? Baptist born and Baptist bred. And when I die, I'll be Baptist dead, I guess. But bless Baptist hearts. When you get over the part of trying to keep yourself, boy, your life will be a whole lot happier. Do you know that? Your life will be so much happier. Paul said, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. What have you committed unto him? Do you know that I've committed my soul unto him? I've committed my soul. I've committed this thing that I can't see. This thing, that friend that is down on the inside, that's going to live forever. Listen, it shall never die. Hey, I've committed it unto him today. And it's his to keep. But listen, what about you? Are you convinced of that thing? Or are you going to have to help us now? Are you convinced of that? Listen, you need to be convinced of your salvation. Was there a difference made when you got saved? He said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. So see, he's got to be in you. Got to be in you. And so Christ, he said, examine yourselves. He said, prove it out. Prove it out. Can you prove your salvation? If I ask you to prove whether you're saved or not, what would you do? Some of you ain't never gave that any consideration, have you? How would you prove your salvation? Kind of a funny question, ain't it? How would you prove? Now, you don't have to prove anything to God. He already knows. Well, what about you? First of all, you got to prove it to yourself. How are you going to prove your salvation? Well, you're going to have to line it up with what the Bible says, ain't you? I mean, did you do what the Bible said to do to get saved? What did he say? What did we read a few minutes ago? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You go down to verse 13 in the same chapter, and it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What did that Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16? He broke in there to Paul and Silas after the prison had been shook and the doors were open. And listen, he was one breath and one step away from death. He'd already drawn his sword out and was going to kill himself, and he was about to spend eternity in hell. And listen, and Paul said, cried out and said, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And the Bible said that he took a light and he sprang in and fell down before them and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." What do you believe? You believe that he lived and that he died and that he rose again for you. You believe that in your heart and ask him to save you, he'll save you. So Paul said, "I know I'm saved. Not only do I know that I'm saved, I'm convinced that I'm saved." So there has to be a time that you come to Christ if you're going to prove it out. It's not by good works or baptism, but you had to come and ask Christ. I ain't asking you if you cried when you come to the altar. I'm asking you what you believed in your heart. It does take believing. I remember the night that I got saved. I remember I just come and asked him to save me. And it was that simple. Oh, I cried. And I think that it does something to you emotionally. Don't misunderstand me, because we are emotional beings. I mean, if you try to work that out of salvation, there's something wrong with you. But listen, crying don't mean somebody got saved. It's what happened, the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ in the heart of a man, woman, boy, or girl that changes them. That's salvation, you see, when they come and believe. Are you different? Paul said, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded." He was persuaded about something. What was he persuaded about? He was persuaded not only about his salvation, but he was persuaded that the Lord was going to do the keeping. And I'm persuaded about that because I know that I can't do the keeping. You know what? The Lord put Noah in that ark and shut the door, and the Lord done the keeping, didn't he? Right? Lord shut him up, told him to build the ark, get in the ark. You know, if we were free will Baptists, what's my saying? Most of you know where I'm headed with this. Then we'd have had to drove some pegs up on the outside of the ark, and he'd have told Noah, "Hold on the best that you can. And if you make it through and you endure all of it, then you'll get there." Listen, Noah was on the ark. He was safe inside the ark. Do you know you're safe inside the ark? Amen. Listen, you're safe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did that ark not bear up, and that the judgment of the Lord? Huh? What was the judgment of God? Was it not the water that was up on the earth? Did that ark not bear up and that under the load of that water and carry them and that to safety? Well, sure it did. And listen, by the way, that thing was pitched within and without. It couldn't spring a leak. It wasn't going to spring a leak. And that thing, you know, we see pictures of it and we see it as brown. But if that thing was pitched within and without, it was black as midnight on the outside. What do you think our sins look like and that to the Lord? I believe sometimes that it's just as black as midnight to the Lord. But Paul also knew that he had been saved. If there had ever been a man that had been changed, it was Saul of Tarsus, and that to the Apostle Paul. But he said, "I know whom I have believed, that he is able." And he said, "I'm persuaded that he is able, thank God for the ability of Christ, to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." So Paul knew there was a day coming that he was going to face the Lord. You know there's a day coming you're going to face God. I hope you're ready to face him in salvation. Then look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me. Flip over. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And look in verse 7. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." You know, Paul was really the only one preaching that, I mean, the unadulterated gospel to them Gentiles. He was. And he said, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel." It was personal to him, and it was possessive unto him. "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Thank God for that. "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul said, "I know that I'm saved." But then he said right here, I believe in verse 10, he said, "I'm doing all that I can to get folks saved." Look what he says in verse 10. He said, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation." Paul said, "I'm doing whatever I can to get folks saved." Now I ask you, can you say that, "I know I'm saved"? Now let me ask you this question. Can we say, "I'm doing all that I can to get folks saved"? So that first one's probably a little easy for everybody in here that is saved. Answer, if you're not saved, then you need to come in and get saved this morning. It's that simple. If Christ Jesus is knocking on your heart, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, he said, I'll come in. If he will open the door, he said, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. But see, then Paul says, I know I'm doing everything that I can to get folks saved. What about us? Are we doing all that we can to get folks saved? Paul said in Romans chapter 10, he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. God sent him to the Gentiles and wanted him to preach to the Gentiles. And he was the apostle to the Gentiles, but Paul never lost his desire to see Israel saved. At one time, Paul said, if Israel would get saved, he said, I wish myself a curse and that. If Israel just get saved. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. Let me ask you something. What is our desire toward lost people? What desire is it? Do we pray? When's the last time you ever prayed for somebody that's lost? When's the last time? Now, you say, well, that was this morning. That's good. I'm asking you, when is the last time you ever prayed for somebody that's lost? When's the last time God ever burdened you to go talk to somebody about their salvation? You ever been burdened to go talk to somebody? I mean, God just bother you. I mean, just work on your heart until you have to go talk to them. I can tell you from experience that I don't care as much as I should. We get sidetracked with so much. We have desires over here and desires. I mean, we have worldly desires. We've got plans that we want to make. We've got things that we want to do. And we're working towards some kind of goal. But friend, when really the goal that we should be working toward, if we're saved, then it should be the goal to see others saved. That's the goal we ought to be working toward. We're just sojourners down here, are we not? Are we not just sojourning? You know what that means, to just be passing through? We're just sojourning. We're not to put roots down here. Some of you are trying to start a family and raise a family, and I understand all those things. But and some of you have raised a family and are in the middle of doing it right now. But listen, this ain't home. This ain't it. We're just sojourning. I mean, we're just passing through. Hey, we're not members here. We're not citizens of this country. We're looking for citizens. We've got a citizenship in another country whose building and foundations is made by God. I think I've told you all this before. There was a time in my life that I would travel down the interstate and see traffic coming at me, and I would wonder about the souls of people in those cars. You ever do that? See them headlights of the nighttime coming at you and think, boy, there's somebody in that car. Reckon they're saved. You know, I ain't done that in a long time. Get sidetracked if we ain't careful. Paul said, I'm going to do whatever I can to get somebody saved. Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and look at what he said. Look in verse 19. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19. I'm not wanting to beat up on you. I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm wanting you to think. I'm wanting you to ask yourself a question. Can I make that statement? I'm doing whatever I can to get folks saved. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. What's he talking about? Those that are under the law, that was the Jews. Those that were without the law was the Gentiles, but yet under the law to Christ. And he said, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. What did Paul say? He said, to the weak I became as weak that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Paul said, I'll do whatever it takes to get the gospel out. Can I tell you that your job in spreading the gospel don't end here? What felt like to fell out. Did you see that? To glue that in. But it don't end here. A lot of people, they have a misconception that as long as they come to church and they put their tithe money in the plate, then they have done their job in that to try to spread the gospel. No. The Lord's wanting you to tell somebody about Him. The Lord's wanting you to open your mouth and tell somebody and say, let me tell you what the Lord can do for you. It might be your friends. It might be your family. Hey, listen, who's going to win your family if you don't? Who's going to win your neighbor if you don't? Who's going to win them kids in your neighborhood if you don't? I can tell you right now, the devil wants them. The devil's going to do everything he can to get them, send them to hell. And listen, unless somebody goes out there and tells them about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that He can save them and change them and give them happiness and joy down on the inside, listen, the devil's going to have them. We've got to get a hold of that. Paul said, I'll do whatever it takes to get folk to Christ. Paul even took Israelite vows. You can go over to Acts 18 and you'll find that he even peeled the hair off his head. He even had his hair cut off and had to keep them Israelite vows just so that he might be able to win Israel and that to the Lord. Are we doing all that? If I ask, this is a loaded question. If I, this is like saying, do you got a mama? Are we doing all we can? I know I'm not. Because if we were, we'd spend every waking hour trying to get somebody saved, wouldn't we? Well, preacher, we got to work. I understand that. But listen, in the time, I'm just saying, folk are dying all around us and going to hell, and we're just letting folks slip off. But Paul said, I'm doing all that I can to get folks saved. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 11, the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I think we need to pray, but then we need to practice what we've prayed. Lord, let me tell somebody about you, and then the Lord puts somebody in your way and you don't tell them. Lord, save my neighbor over here. All right, I will. You go talk to him. You see? Lord, save my children. Oh boy, now here's where it gets good. You want your children saved, but how are you living in front of them? See, because you can say, do as I say, not as I do, but I guarantee you they're watching more about what you do than what you say. If you're living like the devil through the week, why do you think that they're going to want some kind of salvation that you tell them that they need that you've got if there's nothing different about you? We're running out of time. Paul said, I know I'm saved. And I know I'm doing everything that I can to get folks saved. You say, well, I'm backward, preacher, about talking to folk, then hand out tracts. We keep tracts printed. I'm fixing to send some off and have them printed. Fixing to order some. Hand them out, give them. As Jeremiah testified the other night while he was preaching, I mean, how many did you say? About 20 looked at that one tract when them folk come through your place and handed out one. It made it through about 20 hands. You never know. You never know. I think about Brother Hensley, one of our missionaries to Idaho. He said, I was the feller that would stand up against the preacher. You know, when he come to witness to me, he said, I'd be rough with the preacher, but said then after he had handed me the tract and behind closed doors, I'd go read that thing. So you don't ever know what's going to happen with that piece of paper, you see. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed in me. And every one of you may be doing the best that you can. And I hope so, but I'm going to tell you, there's work that needs to be in Mark's life. I can tell you that right now. But then look in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. Well, let's back up to verse 6. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and my time of departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. Paul said, I know I'm saved, and I know that I'm trying to get folks saved. And then number three, he says, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. What do you mean? He said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul said, I have done what I have supposed to have done. Now he knew that his life was coming to an end. Or at least he felt like it was coming to an end. And he said, my time to be offered is at hand. My departure is at hand. He felt like that Nero was fixing to cut his head off. And Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I have done what I have supposed to do. Can we say that? Can we say, I'm doing what I am supposed to be doing? Not only am I winning souls and after Christ, but listen, I have fought the fight and I'm still fighting the fight. There's a lot of people, as they've got older, they give up fighting the fight. They're still saved. They still come to church, but it's like they just give up in the fight. I don't get that. I mean, Paul said in one part, was it 1 Timothy chapter 6? He said, fight the good fight of faith. Hey, it's a fight, man. It's a fight to fight the devil, our adversary. I hate him. Man, everybody should have said amen right there. I hate the devil. You say, yeah, I hate the devil because he hates me, friend. Sometimes, well, I better be careful what I'm about to say right here because it might happen. I don't want to face it. Sometimes I think it'd be easier. I'm not sure about this, Lord, so don't take me up on it. But sometimes I just think it'd be easier if he was manifested like a person and I could just pop him in the nose sometime. I'd at least feel better about it. But there's one thing I know, and this is why I don't say this, that I think I could take him, because even Michael the archangel over there in the book of Jude said, I durst not bring a red accusation against you, but I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. See, even Michael the archangel knew he wasn't big enough to take on Satan. I'm not big enough to take on Satan by myself, but greater is he that is within me. Greater is he that is within you than he that's within the world, you see. But I'm going to fight the fight. I'm going to keep swinging. I want to keep swinging. I want to keep fighting. Listen, David, when he got over there and seen Goliath, and boy, he seen how that all of Israel was chicken over there, and they'd run, and they would hide in their tents, and he got to saying what he'd do, and his brother come out there, and his brother was basically running him down. And David said, is there not a cause? Can I ask you, is there not a cause to fight this morning? Is the gospel not a worthy cause to keep swinging for? Is the Lord Jesus Christ not a worthy cause to keep fighting this morning? You know how Nehemiah put it like this. He said, now look, I rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your house. Listen, if you don't want to fight for God, then you better be fighting for your house. You better keep on fighting for your children, for men, for your wife, ladies, for your husband. Keep on fighting till the fighting's over with. We think fighting is a bad time, is a bad thing sometimes, and it is amongst us. Brethren should never fight. Amen? We ought to be on the same team. We're on the same side, man. I mean, we should be. If you ain't on my side, then we've got a problem, because I hope and believe that I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. But Nehemiah said, fight for your brethren, for your son. Hey, I believe that your family's worthy of a good fight. Physically. I believe if somebody come in there and try to take advantage of your family, you'd fight for them. Then fight for them spiritually. I pray for my wife just like I pray for you. Fight for her in my prayer life. Huh? What I allow in my house can either hinder her spiritual relationship with the Lord, or it might help it. And it's either going to hinder mine or help mine. One or the other. It's worthy of a good fight. Don't you think your wives is worthy of a good fight, men? To keep things the way that they need to be, and that lined up with the Word of God. I believe your children are worthy of a good fight. Paul said, not only have I fought a good fight, He said, I have finished my course. He said, I stayed on the race and run the race like the Lord wanted me to. You go over to Hebrews chapter 12 and you find that he talks about the race over there, does he not? After talking about the roll call of faith and all those that had been faithful in faith, he said, wherefore seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let's lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. What did he say? He said, let us lay aside every weight and sin that is so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is so easily that is set before us. He said, I'm going to stay the course. No matter what anybody else does, I'm going to stay the course. Whether the preacher quits, I'm going to stay the course. Whether my wife quits, I'm going to stay the course. Whether my husband quits, whether my children quits, whether my mom and dad quits, I'm going to stay. Whether my best friend quits, I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to keep running the race like I'm supposed to run it and make the Lord happy. I'm going to run the race. That's what Paul did. Paul stood, if you look in the latter part of this chapter of 2 Timothy chapter 4, you'll find Paul stood when nobody else would stand with him. And he said, but yet the Lord stood with me. Paul was going to finish his course. And then he said, not only that, am I going to finish the course? Am I doing what I need to be doing in fighting? Am I doing what I need to be doing in running the race? He said, I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to keep on believing what is right. I'm going to keep on living right and keep on believing what is right. If everybody else forsakes what is right, I'm going to keep on believing what is right. We're living in a day when Baptist churches is kicking the name Baptist off their signs. I'm proud to be a Baptist. I know what Baptists believe. I know what Baptists have endured to be a Baptist. Some of you need to study your history on the Baptist church. Amen. You do. And I'm proud to be a Baptist. I'm ashamed of some of the things that Baptists have done, and I'm ashamed of some of the things that have been associated with Baptists, but I am proud to be Baptist. But beyond being a Baptist, I'm going to keep on believing this book. Paul said, I'm just going to keep on believing right. I'm going to keep the faith. 1 Timothy chapter 4, he told Timothy over there, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's happening today. You read on down in 1 Timothy 1, he said, This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare, holding faith, and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made a shipwreck. He said, some's put the faith away. They're not believing right. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Peter, and I'm fixing to close. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look in verse 15. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. What did Peter say? Peter said, I know Paul's wrote to you, and I know that some of the things that he's wrote to you is hard to understand. And Peter said, those that are unlearned and those that are unstable, they take those things that are hard to understand and even other scriptures, and they rest them and they twist them. Can I tell you this morning, don't let one verse that you don't understand negate 100 other verses that you do understand. If you stumble across something in this Bible that you believe that takes away your eternal security, remember that there is 100 other verses in there that points to eternal security. Amen. I mean, it's all in there. I know my sheep. He said, you're in my hand and in my Father's hand, and my Father one. I mean, he keeps Ephesians 4:30. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. I mean, we're kept eternally in Christ Jesus the Lord. Ephesians 1 talks about, I believe in the word of the gospel, and that we were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. We're kept in him. But if you stumble across something that makes you wonder about that, don't rest and twist that one verse to make it say something that it does not say. And he said, what a lot of people have done is that, hey, they have rested and twisted those things to their own destruction. He said, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, you know these, you know what the Scripture says, you know that they're resting and they're twisting the Scripture to make it say something that it does not say. He said, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And folk are doing that today. Not only are they giving up on Baptists, but they're just falling away out into the world. Paul said, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And as we close, in verse 8 of 2 Timothy, he knew that there was a reward for him. Sometimes I wonder about that for me. What do you mean? If you go over and you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you'll find that there comes a day when our work's going to be tried. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. And it'll be tried out so as by fire. And what'll be left standing in the ashes. I know there's coming a day at the judgment seat of Christ, my work's going to be tried. I hope there's something left standing in the ashes besides me. I hope there's something that, like the 4 and 20 elders done over there in Revelation chapter 4 when they cast their crowns back at the Lord's feet, I hope that I've got something to cast back at His feet. I'd hate to stand there and think that I'm going to stand there empty-handed and not have anything to give back to Him. Did He not come and give Himself for you and me? Should we not give ourselves? You know, He came and died for us. He just wants us to live for Him. That's all He wants. Let's bow our head this morning. The title of that message is, Can You Say That? Or what can you say? Can you say, I know I'm saved. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know I'll go to heaven. I know I won't die and go to hell. I know I'll go to heaven. I know that. Without any reservation in your heart and in your life, you can say, I know I'm saved, preacher. It's the most important thing that you'll ever ask yourself or say or be able to say is, I know I'm saved. But see, here comes the hard part. After you say that, I know I'm saved, than to say, I know that I'm trying to win everybody that I can. I'm trying to see everybody that I know saved. I've sold out, preacher. I've sold out my whole life to try to get folks saved. Listen, I ain't asking you that just so that you'll come to the altar. I'm asking you that so that we can be about the Lord's business, trying to win folks. Paul said, I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you living like Christ wants you to live? When you line your life up in light of this word right here, do you line up with it? I'm fighting, preacher. I'm keeping up the fight. I'm on my course. And listen, I'm going to finish this thing and I'm going to believe right to the end. So I'm asking you, are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Or are we just doing part of what we're supposed to be doing? We give the Lord lip service on Sunday and look like the world, dress like the world, and sound like the world the rest of the week. And then come Sunday, we come and appease Him and appease our conscience. We've been to church. Can you say that? If you need to come and pray, I want you to come. If you've never been saved, I want you to come and get saved this morning. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for the love and the mercy that you've given us. And Lord, I've preached what you give us. I really believe this was a message for the hour. On Can You Say That? I'm glad that I can say I know I'm saved. But Lord, I really can't say that I'm trying to win everybody that I can. Shame on me. Lord, I pray that you'd put a desire in our heart and that to be a better witness. To hand out more tracts, to have more care and concern for people when we see them in their lost condition, to try to win them to you. Lord, I pray folk in here can say that from their heart, doing all I can to get folks saved. Lord, help us to see that we're running out of time, and help us to live faithful to you to the end. When we meet you on that day, we'll have a reward because we've served you faithfully. Help the one this morning that's lost, save them, bring them to a place of repentance. We'll give you the glory for it all this morning, for these things in Jesus' name. Let's keep our heads bowed for just a second. Kind of felt like, listen, if you need to come and pray, I want you to come. We're not going to tarry long. But if God spoke to your heart and you've not moved yet and you need to, I want you to come this morning. Anybody need to move?